Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, I'm Pac Romain.
Hey, I'm George Chen.
And you're listening to SupDoc, the premier podcast about documentaries.
Do not confuse us for a podcast that is a documentary.
Today, we're recapping Alex Gibney's HBO documentary, The Inventor, out for blood in Silicon Valley, the story of Theranos and Elizabeth Holmes. The low-talking, non-blinking CEO that promised to revolutionize blood testing, Elizabeth Holmes became the world's youngest self-made billionaire and was heralded as the next Steve Jobs, until a huge fraud scandal led to the dissolution of her multi-billion dollar company.
Our guest is San Francisco comedian Sarah DeForest, a marketing consultant and writer who has her own trajectory in the tech industry and shares a hilarious Elizabeth Holmes anecdote. Sarah also writes for sketch groups Basement Party and Endgame.
And now, here's our talk with Sarah on The Inventor. We're here with our guest, Sarah DeForest. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for dropping in, and thank you for doing the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And what an awesome podcast.
No, you can say that.
It's an awesome podcast,
yeah, blow yourself up a little bit. We're the number one documentary podcast. Right?
We are the number one podcast about documentaries.
Oh, okay. Right. We got to make
the
distinction. Oh, because any nonfiction podcast technically could be a documentary podcast.
Okay.
That's right.
So we're definitely not the number one of those. We actually have entered the realm of fiction recently, but by the time this airs, people will know what I'm talking about. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, thank you again for coming on to this wonderful podcast. What a great start we got. You got a hold of me like a few weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and you wanted to talk about The Inventor,
mm-hmm.
which the Alex Gibney HBO documentary, mm-hmm. and that's what we're doing. But like, let's first talk about the title.
Yeah.
Mm. Which, like, the title, I can never remember the title of this documentary.
I know, it's so bland.
It's super bland, and it makes mm-hmm. to me, it makes no sense.
I know. Well, the book's title is Bad Blood, which is so good.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if the Gibney was just like, I can't top that. I'm just going to phone it in. Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was, because it's bland, and it doesn't make sense to me. Like, Theranos would make a great name for this documentary.
Oh yeah, totally. You know? Exactly. It's like Thanos. It's pretty bad guy-ish.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also half therapy and half
Alex Gibney does love subtitles though, right?
Oh yeah.
What's
the subtitle of this one?
It is The Inventor, Out for Blood in Silicon Valley. So he had to work that in there.
Out for blood. Why don't I just call it Out for Blood?
Yeah, that would have been much better.
Yeah, it would have been much
Look,
better.
Look, we should all work for HBO. All have title pitches.
All be copywriters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I call it The Baltimore Streets. No, it's The Wire. Okay, sorry. Didn't do a good job there. He loved every. I'm looking at Alex Gibney's Wikipedia. Every film he has a subtitle. So, yeah, The Inventor, whatever. It's not the best title.
Black Turtlenecks.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could have just named it Black Turtleneck or Theranos or, like, There Will Not Be Blood.
There's so many blood puns.
Instead of the dark web, the dark turtleneck. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so does she ever, before we get into the documentary, mm-hmm. I have some questions mm-hmm. about Elizabeth, obviously. But does she ever explain where Theranos comes from?
It is something about, George, you know, I think it is
therapy,
like therapy
and diagnosis.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Which is like,
it's like a portmanteau.
Yeah, that is a kind of a
portmanteau.
Half. Yeah. Yeah.
I see. You don't hear that
or
word
a part
lot.
Women toe.
Right. It's mostly a woman toe than it is a man toe.
Port camel toe. Okay. Never mind.
So wait. So it's therapy and diagnosis?
Yeah.
Yeah. She was 19. What are you going to do?
Right. Okay. That's a good
point. Oh, yeah. So inexperienced.
Yeah. She probably, what if she had just gotten the tattoo of like my business I'm going to start like when you're 19? Like I had a lot of bad business ideas at 19. I'm glad
she went for it.
She really did. Okay.
We need to, now that you've brought it up, I think this will be fascinating. What idea for a business did we all have that we wish, now looking back, really wish we had done?
I don't know if I had a, business idea, but I definitely was one of those kids who wanted to be a marine biologist.
Oh, yeah.
Like zero actual interest in science or skills in science, but just like loved dolphins and like got out all the library books on dolphins and like sea turtles and stuff. Mm-hmm.
That sounds typical. I mean, yeah, I could see that. But did you ever,
your business was marine biology then? Your business was just going to school? My business will be going to school.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't know. Yeah. I'll try to think if I had an actual entrepreneurial idea.
I've got two. I want to bump on you.
Let's hear it.
One was, you know, those chopsticks that you get, disposable chopsticks at Chinese restaurants and other Asian restaurants. My idea was to have a strip of sandpaper that you stick at the bottom of the packet. So you know how you like to rub? You can really fully buff your chopsticks. That's the concept. Yes. It was going to add costs to a cheap free product already, but... Right.
Would the consumer have to buy the sandpaper?
No, the restaurants would, but then would have a thin layer of sawdust on all of their tables. Yeah.
Maybe
that would be part of the ritual. Like the server would come around with a damp towel and take care of it.
And if you were doing like an open pit fire, kind of like a Korean barbecue grill, then that would be a bad idea to have like sawdust just floating around, just catch fire automatically. Mm-hmm. My other idea I did actually try to do, and it's very similar, it's very weirdly similar to the Theranos concept, you guys. So you know how like people have to, you know how painful giving blood is and how painful giving sperm is. So it's basically like we can run a bunch of tests on sperm with only like 2 drops of sperm, essentially. And you can run like up to like 5 tests on the sperm.
I'm just trying to brainstorm cum puns for this.
Yeah.
Like there's gotta be a great name for that.
Dot cum.
two dots of cum.
Yeah, literally.
Whatever it is, it would have to be dot cum.
Yeah, yeah. You know how painful it is? You know how like painful it is to get cum?
No.
You don't feel like it's like just painful. This resist, like there's so much resistance to donating and extracting cum from men that if you could only take a little bit and then run up to 3 or 4 tests on it, I think, I don't know what you do with all the extra, but just, we only need a little bit.
Right.
And that's the basis of the concept. Yeah. It's not called medicine. The concept. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I could see that happening.
Yeah, you guys think, like, so I didn't get any investors the way that she did.
That makes sense.
The problem, I think, maybe because it's almost the opposite. Like, I'm a man, she's a woman.
Well, you blink a lot.
Sperm, it's not, I also blink constantly. I'm always, if you're dealing with cum a lot, you blink a lot, is what ends up happening.
It's just for like your own good.
Yeah.
That is true.
I never thought I would talk about cum this much on this podcast. So
no, but this was the most.
You just waited for me.
Yeah, You're welcome. You're welcome.
That's the name of it. Welcome. Isn't that already like a pharmaceutical company?
It's about wellness. Mm-hmm.
There's already a pharmaceutical company called Wellcome, right? Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. But C-U-M though? Wellcome.
Well, now, okay. We'll see. Now maybe we should go back and do it. I think this is like the best place to advertise my new concept for a business. Wellcome.
Taking something that gives most people lots of pleasure, making it like
clinical.
Clinical. Yeah. And also to jack off in Walgreens. It's been one of my highest priorities for a long time. So
seems like Walgreens will make a deal with anyone. So
yeah. It seems that way, doesn't it? Yeah, it kind of does. I had an idea for a franchise of not fast food places, but like a Subway, but it's called Just Sides. They only serve side dishes. That's it.
Oh, like a Boston Market. Without the chicken.
Yeah, but they have meals. You can get your turkey and your chicken and stuff there. Mine would just be sides. Just sides.
Do you know that store Lemonade?
Mm-mm. Oh, yeah.
There's it's like kind of a, yeah, it's probably mostly down Poke in LA, bowls. But it's not, I don't think it's quite there, but it lets you get like five or six little side dishes as your meal.
Oh.
But it's like salads. It's not necessarily like mashed potatoes.
Gotcha. Well, yeah. I literally just sent them a cease and desist letter while you were telling me that from my head, my lawyer head.
Beyonce sent them one.
And here's in like the late, when I first moved to the Haight, there was a bagel shop, Manhattan Bagels, on Masonic that went out. And they had this empty storefront for a long time. And I wanted to start a dog walking business out of the store. And I wanted to call it Walk Nine. We actively love canines. That was the whole idea. And that my logo was going to be someone smiling with like nine dogs, you know, like, yay. And I was like, that will never happen. And now like it's a like Wag and Rover and all those places. Yeah, like that's a legitimate business now. So
you just needed to meet Henry Kissinger. That's the only step you missed.
Only. George, do you have a Henry Kissinger impression?
I do not.
That was more Russian.
I do not have one.
Than whatever he is. What is he? Israeli, I think.
Tommy Wiseau, I just default to at any point. It's just Tommy Wiseau.
For any accent.
Yeah.
Sarah.
Yes.
What impressions do you do?
I can do like a micro Russian impression where I just say, in my village.
All right.
I could try Elizabeth Holmes.
Let's hear your Holmes. Yeah.
You might have to fail 10,000 times, but the 10,001st time, that's what matters.
It sounds like a girl trying to do a dumb guy's voice.
It does. You're right. Yeah, that is good though. So, speaking of Elizabeth Holmes and the inventor and Alex Gibney, let's just start with the voice that I didn't realize until today that was an affectation.
That was like a put on.
Yeah, I had no idea. I mean,
did you think when you heard it then? What was your first thought?
You just thought, she just really has a deep voice.
I mean, she has kind of a raspy smoker, jazzy, songbird voice.
It's very
voice.
Unnatural though.
Yeah.
I guess it is. I just don't like, nowadays I feel like anything that people do is just like, I'm like, it's just them. I don't know. I've met women who have low voices before and it's not like, you know, there's people, and I'm like, oh, and I don't feel like they're putting it on, but I found out today that a friend of mine, when I tweeted about this, said that his wife helps her out all the time with her makeup.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Odd. And he said that that's not her voice. And I was like,
she does take it off? Like, not use it at some point?
Yeah. And she's probably like, hey, everybody.
Just like a baby voice. Yeah, hi, guys.
So much vocal fry.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alex Gibney does not go after her about that in the two-hour film. But talk about on the Dropout podcast that gets brought up.
Yeah, I was telling Paco before we got on the mic that like it is talked about in the book a little bit. I mean, I feel like there's like that's just like a weird personality kind of deficit that like I just feel like I think it's okay that the doc didn't cover it. I mean, there's so many other scandalous things.
Exactly.
More scandalous things.
Yeah. Like if she wasn't like defrauding a bunch of people, it would just be a quirk. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So George, have you read the book?
I got it from the library and I read about 25 pages. I think I got up to where she drops out of Stanford and then I got a little bit deeper into it. And then I was just like, I'm not going to finish this.
And have you listened to The Dropout, the podcast?
Not all of it, but I think I maybe listened to the first two and then kind of like I was just kind of like going over it today just to like kind of like try to remember some stuff. It gets a bit more into like the only real body count in this film is the scientist commit suicide.
I know. Which the doctor did not cover much at all, but the book really got into it.
And Dropout really gets into it, right?
Really?
Doesn't Dropout.
I mean, it's huge. It's crazy.
Yeah, like that's like it, you know, no one from Fire Festival killed themselves yet that we know of. I mean, that would be, you know, if Billy wants to, no one's going to complain. I mean, honestly.
People will look the other way.
Yeah, exactly. But I knew a little bit about it, but I didn't really... wasn't really on it when it was happening. So kind of like around the time Bad Blood came out and like I heard like John Carreyrou doing like interviews, I was like, this is so up my alley, being of a native of Silicon Valley, having worked in Sunnyvale, kind of not in tech technically, but just kind of adjacent to technology just by being a Bay Area person.
And Sarah, have you it sounds like you've read the book, listened to the podcast.
I read the book. I actually didn't know about the podcast until whoever was commenting about that. But I read the book. I really liked it. I think as always, like, books are better than the movie. So I felt like going into the doc, I had a lot more context. And so when I feel like some of the criticisms of the doc is that it just kind of like skims over a lot of things. But I think because I already had that knowledge, I didn't really notice as much.
Well, that was going to be my question. Yeah. What, like, weighing all of them, what did you think of the doc?
I thought the doc was good, but again, I think I like probably, I think I filled in a lot of the gaps, that they sort of glossed over. I would have loved for the doc to cover more, about the Ian Gibbons suicide, about Sunny, like her partner, who like in the book and maybe in the podcast too, like he sounds just like a monster.
The podcast really makes him sound like a monster, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like they didn't really talk about him at all. I would have loved to hear a little more about, they didn't really talk about Elizabeth much at all. Like they talked about like her, you know, all of the missteps as a CEO or whatever, or the fraud, but they didn't really talk about like her background. And the book talks about like her childhood and, but like not really about like how she became became this way.
There is some missing information here from like when she was a kid and like wrote a story at 9 or whatever to when she's a billionaire at 19.
Right, exactly.
Like, what the fuck happened? Like, and she's from, I don't even know where is she from? I just assumed she was from California.
She moved around. I think she like lived in DC and then lived in Houston and then ended up at Stanford.
And her grandparents or great grandparents was Fleischmann's yeast, I believe.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, there's some like entrepreneurial
background.
There's
some family money.
Yeah.
But I think like her grandfather or some family member like spent the fortune. Mm-hmm. So they like weren't actually rich by the time she was around.
That would suck.
Right?
That would fucking suck. I grew up really poor, so I don't care. I have no like anything to compare. But to grow up kind of poor, knowing that there was family money that some asshole spent.
You didn't have to struggle.
Well, no wonder she spent so much. I mean, she had what, $900 million?
Yeah, I think almost a billion.
In funding? Like,
then it was valued at so much more.
Oh, like in the billions.
Her, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like her, like I think she owned like, 51% of the shares or whatever. Hmm. So she was like a multi-billionaire.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, she had private jets. Yeah, all that shit. Yeah.
Yeah, private.
I think she was that was like a, she was like one of the richest, like self-made women or something, at the time it was like a really cool, inspiring story.
See, I don't think I ever heard of her until this doc came out.
Yeah.
That's the other thing about this. Like, I don't remember hearing about Elizabeth Holmes ever.
I just because I work in tech and, the story that I wanted to tell you was that, so I used to work at HP, which at the time was, well, it's still like two doors down from Theranos. It's like on this, it's like the campus is like right next door to Theranos.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And when I was there, Meg Whitman was the CEO of HP.
Oh, right.
And,
pre or after she ran?
After. Okay. It was like just a couple of years ago. And so I was on the marketing team and I was in charge of making this marketing video where we got all these like, big heads of Silicon Valley and like, basically like friends of Meg Whitman to like talk in a video about like, congratulating her and talking about like how awesome HP was. And so we had like Richard Branson and we had like Howard Schultz and Sheryl Sandberg and they all just gave these little like one-liners. But Elizabeth Holmes apparently like really likes Meg Whitman and like gave a very good interview. And I wasn't there for the actual interview, but she's what we used pretty much to like shape the story of that video. Like she was like the opening person and then like the kind of the narration and said all these like really powerful things about like how, HP really was like the start of Silicon Valley, like back in like the 30s, it was like at Stanford in Palo Alto. So she like talked about that. And so I was like, running around trying to get this video done. And then like the day before we were going to launch it, the Wall Street Journal story came out.
Oh, no.
And I was just, you know, I'm so much of like a just get shit done person that yeah. I was that. I, and also like being a, you know, like related to the public relations team. Like, I don't really think super highly of journalists. And so I was like, this is just they're just creating something from nothing.
Fake
and,
news.
But
man.
Luckily, my boss's boss was like much sharper than I was and was like, this is big. So we had to like cut out, like recut the video and cut out Elizabeth Holmes, hired another deep-voiced VO person to just say her lines and not be...
Was it Peter Coyote?
That would be awesome. It was like, famous Peter Coyote. Yeah.
And we ended up launching, like, releasing the video without her. And I, you know, still at the time, I was just like, man, what a waste. Like, she, that would have been so great.
No.
And then now, obviously, it's like, oh so good.
God, that's amazing. Yeah. Wow. What are the chances, like, of...
But that was the first time I had heard of Elizabeth, because I hadn't heard of Theranos. Like, I'm not in the healthcare world at all.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she was just right down the street from me.
Wait. Say that last
Theranos was right down the street from HP. Yeah.
I was confused because it didn't seem like they have a, did they move to Newark at some point? Like there were, I think they said something like there
were, oh, Newark, California. Yeah, I think they had a lab there.
Oh, they had a lab in Newark and then obviously all the wheeling and dealing is in the
Palo Alto.
Very Tony Palo Alto, exactly. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Did you live down there too? Did you live in the peninsula too?
No, I commuted.
Oh, you commuted.
It was terrible.
Familiar.
That's hilarious story. That reminds me of I did voiceover for a Tesla convention video, and they paid me a fair good amount of money to do it. It was like a 5-minute video, and they were launching their electric way stations. They're going to put every 300 miles from San Francisco to New Jersey. So you're going to be able to drive across the country, and every 300 miles you could plug in your car.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the day that the convention was, the Detroit Car Auto Show, they were going to unveil it. That day they found out that all the experiments, everything was catching on fire. Everything. Oh, all the little way stations and stuff that they had experimented with would just catch on fire.
Yeah.
And so the guy got a hold of me and he's like, can you re-record with this whole new script in like 10 minutes kind of thing? And then like, cause we're going to launch it at the Detroit Auto Show.
Just to not talk about the way station.
Yeah. Like he just completely cut everything, all that stuff out. Mm-hmm. And he's like, we need this in like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I was like, my price just
Elon is
tripled.
Walking on stage.
Exactly. We're going to patch you in live 3, 2, welcome. Yeah. It was like, oh man, that's the day it hit the newspapers that all these things were catching on fire.
Jesus.
And like, yeah, that's awesome.
I mean, that's so that was like my, like having worked in tech, like, the, like that's kind of my big takeaway from this doc and like from the story in general is like, this shit happens at all venture-backed companies. But it's like the problem with Theranos is that it was healthcare.
Right.
And healthcare is so much more complex, so much more regulated.
Good point.
And so much more dangerous to people's lives. I mean, similar to Tesla or like self-driving cars, like they mentioned in the doc. But like, that's why I'm just like, why didn't she just make a fucking app, like an email, like app or whatever, you know, a chatbot or something. Like, why didn't, like, if it seems like her goal was like just to be a Steve Jobs person.
Right.
So like, why didn't she just do something that was like, had way less like red tape around it?
Mm-hmm. I think anytime you get involved with narcissistic egos and people, they don't do, they shoot for the fucking moon.
Yeah.
They're not, she's like, I don't want to make another WhatsApp. I'm going to revolutionize the healthcare blood industry, you know, like, yeah. And it's just like,
but like with zero medical experience or, and like a semester of engineering,
right.
Like
yeah.
it's so crazy. That, and like, yeah, but,
who,
but yeah, I think it's just a narcissism.
For that shit?
I guess it's a narcissism.
Yeah, it's,
thing.
It is. It's protective ego.
And
stuff.
Like healthcare is a very like emotional and like, you know, it's a industry where you can say you're actually saving the world.
Right.
Right. We all have
so
uncles, right? We all have that uncle. Yeah.
So does that uncle exist?
I actually,
does anyone know?
I saw it, George. You said you didn't think it existed.
No, I think there was a real uncle. It's just like the way Alex Gibney kept showing her talking, like repeatedly saying it over and over. I thought he's gonna be like, and then there was no uncle. You know, I thought that was gonna be
his
gotcha.
Oh, right. I think I'm pretty sure in the book it said like she hadn't talked to the uncle in years, or you know, like it was like not an uncle she was close to.
Right, like how much she claimed to love that uncle was maybe a little bit oversold.
Yes.
Right.
Which I don't even think, like, that's something that all business, you know, it's like you get your like personal anecdote and then you just say that over right. and over. Like, I don't really mind that yeah. so much.
I mean, it's kind of like running for office. Those guys are like, you know, like Clinton yes. was like, I'm from Hope, Arkansas.
Total politician. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what it is. It's called cult of personality types. Mm-hmm. And look at that. George took a snapshot.
Yeah.
George's cat is joining us.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a big fan of this documentary. So
yeah. He also likes true crime.
He also Sherby. Doesn't like needles either. He's a big needle avoider.
I hate needles.
Yeah.
Actually, whenever they showed all the needles yeah. in the first, I had to close my
Me
eyes.
Too. I can't. I watched this test. Documentary and then went and gave blood yesterday, all in one.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and finished my taxes. It's always like giving blood. It was all like giving blood.
Did you commit fraud on your taxes?
Of course. Yeah, of course.
Did it feel like Alex Gibney just like got like a giant like PVC pipe and then just shoved it into like a piece of meat or something just to make that needle look fatter and like wider? Yeah. It's yeah, such a wide needle. Ugh.
I had to look away during those.
Yeah, yeah. I hate
the close up, it's just like, come on.
Yeah, that's not how it is. I mean, I don't know. I give blood fine. That's the thing. Like, how many people are that? I guess a lot of people don't like needles.
I think it's a pretty big phobia. Yeah,
yeah, I hate them. I can't. I'm not into it. Let's go back. So I don't know anything about fucking Sonny Balwani. Mm-hmm. Balwani. Balwani?
Yeah.
Sonny Balwani.
I didn't.
The COO.
Yeah, I didn't read.
I don't know
book.
Anything about this dude, and you're yeah. saying.
I mean, I think he just, you know, he. I think he had some success in like the .com era, mm-hmm. But in like the software world, like not in medicine, mm-hmm. and like had a lot of money from that, and was just like this really flashy guy. Like again, in the book, like they, you know, he drives around Ferraris or Porsches or whatever, and is just yeah, ton of money. Super like wears like open, you know, his yeah. shirt's like buttoned down to his belly button. Like.
So hot, yeah. It was so hot. Every time he's on screen, I'm like, this guy is so hot. That's what I kept thinking.
And it's such that tech nerd, sexy dumbness.
Dad
where
jeans,
like,
yeah.
Dad jeans. Till like the sun goes down, the untucked shirt, like
yeah.
it's so
dye job.
The
yeah.
whole tech Ugh. Culture just kills me.
Yeah. yeah,
it's like I'm nerd sexy. It's like,
I'm nerd sexy.
Oh, yeah. It's like come
that
on.
That was the grossest thing was just picturing those two together, which
together.
You kind of like in the podcast you kind of don't get the visual of it, and so it's just no. like just watching them just like be like, and they kept. Leaving together and coming in together. I'm just
yeah.
like, gross. So, hard pass on this.
They lived in a condo together.
Yeah.
It's like, ew.
It was like, so gnarly. It's not even the age difference. It's just the two of right. them are just gross and then grosser together.
It really yeah. makes no sense. I wonder what she saw in him. Like, I could get what
money.
He saw in her. I mean, money, but like she had money too eventually.
And, well, also like, you know, misery loves company yeah. and thick as thieves, mm-hmm. you know, like,
yeah.
I think maybe they were both like, we're full of bullshit.
Yeah.
We mm-hmm. have to stay together. Like,
and I think probably in the beginning, like she saw him as a mentor but then it just like turned into so much more.
Something so
well,
horrible.
Yeah. It's like a big subtext of this that I got from watching the film. Not even a subtext. It's like the text. It's like, she's a 19-year-old blonde white woman.
Right.
And then all these old ass, you know, venture capital guys are just like, she's a genius. I just
know.
Love hearing her talk about anything.
I wrote down a few of the things, like the compliments from like Mattis and Kissinger and stuff. Like it was like, she just has this ethereal quality. And it's like yeah. she's part of a monastic order. And even like
he's
remember
a monastic
that,
order.
Remember that like quick shot when she spoke at like the Arizona House of Representatives or something,
uh-huh.
and like they cut to one old
man.
Fat guy who was like, "You are magnificent."
Yeah,
just, like,
I say.
All these like old guys are just super charmed by her. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure it's just like they never get a chance to talk to like young blonde women mm-hmm. anymore. And she is, I think, smart or at least like
she's
really
not
articulate.
Blonde.
You know? Yeah. And yeah, that was, I saw someone tweet something about that. That was like, you know, all these old men were just, you know, had a je ne sais quoi, like charm, yeah. Charmed by her. And then the tweet was just like, it's called horniness.
Yeah, I'm going to try to figure out who tweeted that because I think we retweeted that on our account
yeah.
too. It was very funny. I really want to credit the person. We'll just
yes,
we'll just put
yes,
in the show
please.
Notes. We'll put in the show notes or 'kay. If I find it, we'll think of it.
But yeah, and yeah, another thing, like Mattis like when he was like, what's the, like someone asked him, like, what's the first word you think about when you think Elizabeth? And he said, integrity. Mm-hmm. and then praised her technical. He was like, integrity in the technical sense and the vote. And it's like, but she has no technical training. Zero. Like she's 19.
Well, it just tells you how you can spin fucking anything.
Yeah.
Let me ask, have you ever been scammed or conned?
Yeah. Well, actually, my parents fell prey to one of those, like, you know, phone call from India that's like, hi, we're from Microsoft. Oh, like, wow. And they called it like 3 a.m. and they're like, hi, we're from Microsoft. Oh, we need you to update your software right now. Can you please log in and let us screen share as you type in your password?
Oh, no.
And my parents, who are like almost 70, man. Like, you know, they were just like, oh, okay, Microsoft says so.
Microsoft's on the phone.
And they got hacked. Like, it's, yeah. Oh, at 3 a.m. Yeah, and they were like, wow, well, I guess this is really urgent. Like, and
oh,
it's
no.
just like, oh, God. Like, my, like, yeah.
Where are you? I'm
from upstate New York.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Man. And that's where they are?
Up there. Mm-hmm.
Got sucks. It. Yeah, just not a good, fun-loving.
Yes, totally sheltered.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They love America. They love.
Play by the rules. Play someone by tells the rules. Them to do something.
Yes. Pay your taxes. Yeah. Mow your lawn. Have a barbecue on 4th of July kind of people. Yeah. And here comes the bad old. So yesterday, after I've been thinking about this for a long time, I posted on Facebook the time I got scammed.
Oh.
And it's.
Wait, the Lyft thing?
No, that's
not. Oh, my God.
Because that was crazy, too.
That was insane.
Yeah.
I call it the barf bonus.
Yeah.
Hashtag vomit fraud, hashtag barf bonus.
But that worked out in the end,
well,
right?
I got my money
Thank
back.
Thank God.
Because
yeah.
I have a few famous friends that retweeted mm-hmm. me and were like, Lyft, give this guy his fucking yeah. money. They weren't going to.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then after Norm MacDonald and a couple other people retweeted me, they're like, you know what? Maybe we made a little mistake.
Yeah. You know? You're not worth the $100.
No.
Hey, no, give Baco his money. Back.
No, that's a terrible Norm MacDonald. Terrible Norm.
Hey there, Baco.
Speaking of impressions.
Yeah. No, I got conned out of $300 by this guy at a laundromat who was like, do you like jazz? I was wearing a Pat Metheny t-shirt.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I love jazz. And he's like, I'm a jazz drummer. And I was like, no way. And I'm like, what are you doing now? And he's like, I'm with this band called the Yellow Jackets. And I was like, I know the Yellow Jackets. I love the Yellow Jackets. This is before cell phones. And he was like, do you want tickets to come see our show? And I was like, I'd love to come see your show tonight. And he's like, do you play anything? And I was like, I play piano. I'm a jazz piano player. And he's like, why don't you sit in with us?
Oh, my God.
And I was like, that would be amazing. And then he's like, well, all I need to do is call the band. Do you have a phone I can use? I'm like, I just live a couple blocks away. So he came to this apartment that you're in right now, sat in my living room for like an hour while he called the band. And then he got off the phone and said, the band's into it, but do you have a musician's union card? And I was like, no, not at all. And he's like, I actually can get you one. It's a day pass just for one day. It's $300. And I was like, let's fucking do it. And he's like, let me call the union just to make sure.
Let me call the union.
So he gets back on my phone.
Let me get on the direct line to the union.
Yeah. Hello, union. Klondike 655.
Need one for Paco Romaine.
Dial it up. So, dude, I literally got us a cab. We drove to this Knights of Columbus Hall in Potrero Hill where he said the band was going to be playing.
Jesus.
Then we drove to the bank and I got $300. And then we drove to this weird building on like 16th and Mission or around there. And he goes in for like 10 minutes, comes out with an envelope. It says Yellow Jackets on it. There's a card in it. And I'm like, we are good to go. And then he's like, can I use your cab to go back to the place? Because I'm going to do a sound check. And I was like, sure, I'll just walk. Because I was so excited.
Oh, my God.
I took a shower. I got all dressed up.
Oh,
I was playing the piano to warm up. And I get there to this place that we'd gone to earlier. And I'm knocking and I'm knocking and no one's answering. And then dude, literally out of the shadows walks a guy with a guitar. And he's like, are you with the Yellow Jackets? And I said, I guess. And he goes, good. I thought I got scammed. This guy told me I could sit.
And then you two started a band.
And then we started a band called U2, exactly. And then I took the envelope out of my pocket, I opened it up, and in the card that was inside was the add value laundromat card when they don't take coins that I had used earlier at the laundromat that he had put in an envelope.
Oh. Like,
awesome. Incredible. $300.
Oh,
speaking
man.
That is such as that's the thing with those scammers, they are pros.
Oh.
Like they get so specific, they have answers to all your questions.
Everything.
Like that's what they just do day.
He knew exactly who I was and like probably he probably summed me up in 5 minutes and then dangled a carrot.
Yeah, he was a genius. Elizabeth Holmes isn't a genius. She says, I don't know in all her depositions.
all her depositions is like 600 incidences of her saying like, I don't know, I didn't do that, you know?
Well, I think that's protecting herself.
No, but like this guy.
If I tell you the answer, I'll be arrested immediately.
Yeah. But it's one of those things like my parents used to say, if you actually spent the time using your brains to do something, you know, good, you'd have so much, but instead you'd fuck around. And it's like, same with her. I bet if she actually tried something legitimate, mm-hmm. she might have actually done something.
Like a music festival.
Right. Like a music festival. Yeah, like the XO festival.
Yeah, actually, that was another thing I noticed about this documentary. I thought it was pretty similar to the Netflix Fyre Festival doc because it was just all of the people who are involved kind of trying to do these like self-preservation interviews, mm-hmm. like especially the advertising guy who was just like, I mean, I don't know. I got hired. They told me it worked. So I said it worked in the marketing. And that's it. Like, all of those guys got hoodwinked and that sucks. But like, it was just interesting. It was like each of those people who were part of the fraud and part of the problem, you know, trying to use this opportunity to help themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, since we were talking about it, the tweet that was very funny were paraphrasing is from Liz Watson, at Watson Tots, dated March 18th. My favorite thing about every Elizabeth Holmes story are the legions of old men who are all like, she had this indefinable quality, that star power. You knew she was special. You always wanted to hear what she had to say. And it's like, sir, what you are describing is horniness.
Yes. Thank you, Liz Watson.
Very funny tweet that we were kind of botching. But yeah.
Yeah.
Just
want to
make sure she got her credit in there. Yeah.
It's horniness.
It's horny. It's old guy horniness. It's just apparently it just never goes away. I thought maybe I'd be saved, but not.
No matter how many heads of state positions you've served at.
No, apparently not. Yeah. But I like that there was one character I loved who was immune to that, which is her Stanford professor, Dr. Phyllis Gardner.
Awesome.
Yeah, she's great. It's like, I want to talk about her. She just was like, yeah, I saw the bullshit right away. And I was like, I can't be your advisor, but I know a horny old white man talk to you. Yeah. And that ended up being a guy on the board. Yeah.
I know.
That's hilarious. Yeah, she was awesome. Mm-hmm. She was awesome. She was like, excuse my language, but fuck her.
I feel like she said something really sassy at the end.
Yeah,
I think she said something about her voice too, right? I think she said something about like that voice wasn't real.
Oh yeah, what was it? She was like, it's like my husband always says, excuses are like assholes. Everyone has one.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and also then there's all, like you said, the Fyre Fest documentary. There's always kind of like the guy who's like a few offices down, who sees the bullshit and knows bullshit's going on, tries to tell people. And we have one of those in this documentary as well. Mm-hmm. The grandson, of George Shultz, Tyler Shultz, which is, he seems like a pretty interesting. I actually wanted to know more about.
Yeah, about Tyler. I'm sure he has like a successful career now. I mean, obviously with his connections, but even he just seems like a super sharp guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are some good connections. Yeah. When your dad, grandpa was
even apparently
of State.
In the tech world, which he
volunteered to intern for her when he was like an actual scientist. So he was like, you know, like I can afford to not get paid and work for this company for a while, you know. Yeah, and
he does drop the fact that his parents paid $400,000 to $500,000for his legal defense, which is insane. I'd be in jail. I think, or whatever was happening.
Well, especially against, so that David Boies lawyer is like just another monster, like total shark, like not just in this instance, but like pretty much every case he's been involved in of just like totally unethical intimidation tactics.
He was
like
Weinstein's lawyer, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they said.
And Gore's lawyer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot of people say that his evidence, you know, when he was talking in front of the Supreme Court, like he didn't give the right strategy to the legal strategy for Gore to have won. Like if he had been a better lawyer, we probably would have Gore as a president. But so Tyler Shultz, which is very interesting. Like it's sweet when, you know, he's talking about George Shultz, his grandpa's talking about how his wife wanted to beat up the lawyers because they were harassing Tyler so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in the book, they do go into Tyler's story and what Tyler had to go through, like on the lawyer side. And like, so the David Boies team, like they hired all these private investigators to track all of the former employees. And so like when, like they kind of briefly mentioned this, but yeah. Erica, the Asian woman, mm-hmm. Who was like also like a young employee, when she mentioned, she was like, yeah, they knew my address that I was just like crashing, you know, it was like my friend's house I was just crashing at. I wasn't even like in any records anywhere. It was because they had private investigators following her.
That is so scary, man. That is not anything anyone ever wants to have.
No, no. And that's what, yeah, it's like, you know, it's one thing if like Tyler Schultz gets, you know, sued or is threatened with a lawsuit and he has the means to fight this, like, you know, the biggest lawyer in the world. But then you think of, yeah, like all the other employees, like actually the guy who committed suicide, like he didn't have the means to fight back, and neither did Erica.
Mm-hmm. That's, that is the very, so let's talk about him. Yeah. Ian Gibbons is his name. You sound like you have more information about him than I do. So.
I mean, just that he, so I think he was like a, you know, very well-respected scientist, worked in the lab.
He was like a phlebotomy expert or something, right? He was like the most qualified phlebotomy person.
It's like MIT PhD type. Yeah.
All those letters.
Yeah.
And he just, I mean, I think he was, you know, not the yes man that Elizabeth Holmes demanded and would always point out when things didn't work and, couldn't get anything to work right. And then would tell her about it and tell her things were not possible. And so then she started, and Sunny, started just kind of like, slowly like pushing him out, like giving him like, instead of, he used to have an office, then he like had like a small like cubicle in with everyone, and then like just leaving him out of meetings and ignoring him and just like all those like shitty things that like, you know, people in power can do. And then somehow, I think maybe when he did, I don't think he quit. I think he ended up committing suicide before
he was like, he was going to testify or something. And so he would have had to like testify.
What
and
is
he
the time?
Committed suicide the day before that happened.
And what is the timeline there? Like, was Theranos under investigation?
I guess or at like, that point they were I don't remember which thing it is. Maybe it was the FDA investigation. I can't remember. Yeah. I
okay.
Don't
yeah. Yeah. Maybe
things.
They're just trying to get approval for something.
Yeah.
Someone, maybe listener will correct.
He would.
Us, but
he had to like. He would have had to just straight up like destroy his credibility or lose his job. So he.
Right.
I don't.
And he
know.
Was worried, like as a, you know, in his 60s, like, for his own job security, he didn't think he would be able to get hired anywhere, like at that age. Well, and so he didn't want to just quit.
And as we learn at the end of the doc, if you have Theranos on your resume, then no one was going to hire you anyway. So like with
how
me
horrible.
And the booksmith, like, you know, that's never mind.
That's for three people. That's for three people that Paco knows. That's
me
for,
and the booksmith.
One of them listens.
Just a black mark on your resume.
like, oh, you worked at the booksmith.
We've all had jobs that we would not put on our resume. Or like, I'm not using them as a reference. Yeah.
Tons.
What if you did only have that job and you're like, my only reference is Elizabeth Holmes? That's the only person I can put on my resume.
Well, like Tyler. Well, at least Tyler Schultz. Could probably not have it, but like there's probably people who didn't have a famous grandfather that probably like, like I just spent 2 years interning. Now I can't fucking use it.
I was shocked at how many people worked there actually, like, and how big their facilities
were. It was a big company. Yeah.
Just like people don't getting real estate, in Silicon Valley is ridiculously expensive. And it's like,
especially where she was, where their headquarters was in, like where, again, like where HP was, like Stanford owns all that land. They kind of have like a monopoly over like all real estate in Palo Alto. So it's very expensive.
It's like she dropped out, but stayed in the college town, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
And then I guess apparently they now own the building that Theranos was in because
Stanford does.
Stanford does.
What? Yeah, I believe it.
Is there any into value else. To like Theranos? There's
like,
there's,
would any company
no
want to move in?
Were there did she patent one thing?
Yeah,
in the
lots
beginning?
Of patents.
Okay, they patented some shit, but it's like,
so lots of patents, but like, I don't, but none of the technology actually works.
Oh, yeah. I guess you can get stuff patented that's just like a theoretical
it's a
idea.
Concept.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like
Walk 9.
iPad, I guess. People keep finding precedents to like the iPad, like even in like movies and stuff. And,
oh, interesting.
Yeah. But
well, like so, and then there's this other journalist, not the John Carreyrou, but the Ken Auletta.
Ken Auletta, yeah.
Yeah, Auletta from The New Yorker, mm-hmm. who he's kind of a constant voice in this documentary. At one point, he finally gets Elizabeth to give him a tour mm-hmm. of Theranos. And why don't we listen to this clip where he kind of describes what's going on.
The lab is a large labyrinthian place, bustling with chemists and technicians, and housing rows of machines, each easy for a single person to lift, in which the container of blood is placed. What exactly happens in the machine is treated as a state secret, and Holmes's description of the process was comically vague.
A chemistry is performed, so a chemical reaction occurs and generates a signal from the chemical interaction with the sample, which is then translated into a result,
which is then reviewed by certified laboratory personnel, end quote. She added that, thanks to, quote,
miniaturization and associated automation, that we're able to handle these tiny samples.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara especially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
I liked, like, toward the end, the, like, that half-bearded guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is, like,
his name,
I had to, I Googled him, yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess he's... He's legit.
Economy? Is he like
he's
a
like an economist. Behavioral, yeah. Economist.
Behavioral economist.
Yeah.
Behavioral economist.
But I don't really... Oh, I think he wrote... What did he... Oh, he writes a lot about lying, he said.
Mm,
and so, but that was...
What's up with his half beard?
I think he was actually a burn victim.
Yeah, that was the vibe I was getting.
Not laugh about that one.
Got it. Okay. I just thought maybe they were like... We're here for your interview. He's like, I'll be right out.
You know, like, oh, you came early. Okay. Yeah, sure, I'm ready.
Alex Gibney's prompt. Have a seat.
But his point at the end, which I would love to hear what you guys think, is like, do you think Elizabeth Holmes was like actively maliciously lying, or does she really just live in this like constructed reality where she thinks like she has this amazing vision?
This is kind of like the Billy McFarland's part of it, mm. right? Like, does she believe her own bullshit to some extent? Maybe mm-hmm. if she was so confident at such a young age that I guess she just she just had to keep going in. It's like, you know, it's like just doubling down constantly. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's going to work. It's going to work. The box I drew when I was 19 is going to work. It's just, yeah. I don't know.
Well, in the, like, her response when the Wall Street Journal came out and she went on that Jim Cramer show, mm-hmm. and like her response was like, I used to work in PR. Like, that was like the best way she could have handled it, of just, it was like, you know, this is what happens when you're a visionary. Like, first people think you're crazy, then they fight you, and then you change the world. Mm-hmm. Like it was like so smart of her to just be like, yeah, this is how, this is what happened to Steve Jobs. Like, this is what happened to like every other successful entrepreneur.
Galileo.
It's very Trumpian.
Yeah.
Yeah. To Galileo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trumpy, like gaslighting.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. it's very like those guys have it down pat. They know how to like to throw a diversion out, a little red herring, and then just like inflate whatever they're talking about to make themselves sound awesome. Mm-hmm. But I get the feeling that if you Like, I feel like there's these small circles in this country of, like, very rich government people, very rich health care people, very rich academic types that, like, if you're in that circle, you can just live and foster and maintain, you know, forever probably. Mm-hmm. You know, like, whenever I see a doc like this, even the Fyre Festival shit, where people who are used to having influence and money, it's such a small elite group that it's like they kind of just spin themselves and you can be spinning forever, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm. And have a successful life too.
Yeah. And so apparently I've heard that she's thinking about starting another company. Have you heard that?
But I don't know. Isn't she like going to jail? Like, I think she's still on, like, so I think it was like, I think like she's still under criminal investigation. Mm-hmm. So she could still go to jail.
Right.
What did they say at the end?
Okay, Security Exchange Commission, right? That's who's investigating both her and Sonny at the end of the film.
Yeah, they pleaded not guilty.
Not guilty.
So there probably hasn't been a trial yet.
Okay.
But she's got a boyfriend and she's living comfortable in San Francisco.
Oh, a boyfriend that's not Sonny?
A boyfriend who's not Sonny.
Where'd you read that?
A podcast.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, I keep up on Elizabeth Holmes' sex life. So
they did a settlement, right? And then, but then that's not an admission of wrongdoing. But
right.
Then
yeah.
Wire fraud. That's also another theme that goes back to
Fyre Festival.
I know,
so many Fyre Festival.
The wire fraud charge. Yeah.
It's so odd. I feel like. If you're in that circle or born into those circles, you can just kind of just be Venmo. Like, I've got an idea for something. Mm-hmm. They're like, what is it? You're like, it doesn't matter. You know what? It's so sexy. I can't tell you.
I know. Well,
here, take all my money.
All the secrecy is so crazy. Yeah. And all the like they had basically Secret Service at the office.
Oh, yeah.
Like Eagle One and Eagle Two. Like, you know,
Jesus. I will say like that's one great thing about this film is how much they filmed themselves. And that,
oh,
and then
God.
Alex Gibney gets access to that. And like that's something that's slightly different from like hearing it as a podcast or reading it as a book is just like how much she was spinning herself the entire time.
Well, and that's part of the narcissism too. Like she loved being on camera and loved being in the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
And also doesn't like
Errol
she
Morris.
Loves it so much. She doesn't even mind going on the Wall Street Journal
conference
to that takes so much balls.
I know.
And hubris and narcissistic,
especially if she's just straight up lying.
Mm-hmm. Which she was.
Which, but that's like, and I'm like, maybe in her head she doesn't think, like, that was the other thing, the half bearded guy was like, if you think you're doing good yeah, if you think you're doing good, then it's easier to lie,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you have to believe your own fallacy. It's like, it's the ego protecting the id, which is then protecting itself, which is blah, blah, blah. You know, like, I mean, but in the same respect, it's fucking lying. Like, you know, once you backpedal and prevaricate that much, you must know that, like, at some point, you're just going to get caught and it's just a big bucket of lies.
Yeah, Dan Ariely is the name of that economist. And I think that was like interesting that like Gibney even equates her to this tradition of Thomas Edison going back to like the fake it to make it thing has been a part of like all technology. And it's very American, I think, to just be like, I got the thing. I'm really going to figure it out by the time
the
deliverable will be there, you know? So yeah, it's just, yeah. I thought that quote about like, right, how if you believe that you're raising money for charity, then you're not really cheating. You're raising money for charity. Yeah. That's like maybe the mentality. I don't think, because it's not, someone else pointed out, it's like, it's not a get rich quick and then like leave town, you know, kind of con. Like she believed in it to some extent to like, she was there the whole time. She didn't like bail on it at any point. So, I think she believed in it to some.
Yeah.
I mean, she just like thought like she could just jobs her way into making it work. That's essentially.
I think so too. Yeah. And I think again, like to my like point right at the beginning, like if she had just picked like some sort of software product, I think she would have been fine.
Yeah.
Because this kind of stuff, this is what happens at all tech companies. But I think like the fact that she chose healthcare for some reason, like it's just, I guess for like, the world changing factors, but it's,
But she also, Like people with narcissistic personality disorders think they're martyrs anyways. Mm-hmm. They always think they're the
victim.
Everyone's
out to get them.
They're the victim and that they're the martyr. They're going to save everybody. Mm-hmm. Just spend an hour with my mom. You'll learn a lot about.
I was going to say, do you guys remember the Juicero thing? That yes, reminds me totally. A little bit of the Juicero thing. It's just like once you involve software people in anything liquid, I think that's the key mistake. Like, keep it dry.
That's a great takeaway.
Yeah, just, like, stay away from liquids. You might be able to handle solids. Because
liquids doesn't go well with electronics anyway. Yeah. They should know
powders that. And liquids, not a good thing. Anything else, I think, like, software can handle some of those things. Like, if they could have blood reading off of your iPhone, Apple would have done it by now. You know? Right. Yeah. They would have done that. Yeah.
Well, explain to people who don't know what the Juicero thing is.
Oh, right. That was just like a startup with venture capital to like you would get these bags and they had a juice dispenser. And then people just realized you could just drink the juice out of the bag like a Capri Sun and you didn't need the dispenser. They spent all this money making these
like
dispensers.
Like the $500 dispenser.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, yeah, just mm-hmm. drink the bag. I mean, it sounds gross anyway, but like... Yeah, just a bag of juice. It's a giant Capri Sun. That's all they made.
There are a lot of parallels because that was a Bloomberg story that, mm-hmm. that broke the news there and caused their downfall just as quickly.
Now, can I ask you about PR? Because I worked as a publicist, but I didn't mm-hmm. have any kind of like idea how to handle any kind of controversy quite this bad. I didn't go to like publicity school or anything. How did you get into that field? And like, what is that like doing that in the Silicon Valley world?
Yeah. I it was like the first job I got out of college. Mm-hmm. I was a sociology major and I,
marketing or PR, right? Those are
yeah,
the
exactly. Yeah. So I, you know, I kind of fell into it. But my first job was at like a crisis comms firm mm-hmm. in New York. And it was like right after the financial crisis, there was a lot of fallout. Like we had a lot of like banks were our clients. Like remember Toyota had the whole like sticky pedal issue. Like
they had that car.
There was kind of like fallout from that. I mean, I was more on the side of like, once the crisis is over, like let's talk about all the philanthropy that Toyota does and like all the American jobs that Toyota had, like more on like the positive spin side. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I think like with crisis PR like that, the best thing is just to tell the truth if you can, because if you ever get caught mm-hmm. in any lie in the future, then like that just ruins your credibility and, right. you're, and you're done. But in a, you know, in Theranos' case, they like couldn't really tell the truth.
Yeah.
So they just kept denying.
I'm trying to think of like some good examples. Like I feel like when the owner of JetBlue like came out and was just like, sorry, we fucked up. People were kind of like, mm-hmm. good on you for mm-hmm. saying that. Like there's a way.
Yeah. And
to
like
get
Domino's recently, yeah. didn't they? Yeah. Like
Domino's had a great one.
Yeah. They were like, our pizza sucks.
It tastes like cardboard.
Sorry about that, guys.
Yeah. They're like, our pizza tastes like cardboard. We get it. Yeah. You know, we're going to try to do better.
Yeah.
Like at least we're not racist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. I know. Yeah. I think it's like, I mean, people at least, today, especially, like, I think really appreciate authenticity mm-hmm. and like, yeah, owning your mistakes and embracing
Americans have always loved a comeback story. Mm-hmm. Like if you acknowledge that you made a mistake and you're like, but I'm going to prove you, I'm coming back. They're like, yes, mm-hmm. do it until you get to the top. Then we tear you down.
Yeah, that's right.
Basically.
Can't get too successful.
Do you think she's going to stage a comeback? You were saying she's going to start another company. Is there any way that she like becomes like, I mean, think about just like how we've rehabbed like, okay, so then there's an angle of like the fact that she is a female entrepreneur. Is she getting extra shame, extra diss than like a Billy McFarland or an equivalent person? Because it's like she, it's so much of the story is that she was one of the few super young, successful mm-hmm. female entrepreneurs in Silicon
Self-made
Valley.
Women.
Silicon Valley has a huge gender and diversity issue, which like people are always harping on. So this took down like one of the you know, main like kind of like figureheads of that in a way. So I think that people have talked about, and even the when people said like, if you rip on her voice, is that somehow like about, you know, you wouldn't rip on a dude for doing the same thing, or equivalently, a dude can't get away with, what is the equivalent thing for a guy to like, I would have a really deep voice, you know, like she had to play this game to some extent. And there's like a part where it's just like, okay, that sucks, because now are people gonna just not trust female entrepreneurs from now on because of what a high profile, you know, fuck up this was? You know, that those are some of the questions that I was thinking about. Like, there is a gender angle to like, this for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's like extra disappointment piled on.
Let me answer this.
Yeah, please. Well, actually,
if I may,
I think Sarah, let Paco talk.
Yeah, exactly. I was talking to Paco. Yeah. The guy who hasn't worked in Silicon Valley.
I think there was extra disappointment because people were, you know, so excited to find like to have a billionaire female entrepreneur story. I think the voice thing, like, I don't know if that's necessarily sexist. I mean, I think that shows just like a weird personality of, and her, you know, realizing that to like be in the guys club, she's got to sound like a guy. Like, maybe she does really have that baby voice that we joked about and she needed to change it. But I think like,
I would love if she became successful being like having like a Valley Girl accent. That would have been actually much better.
Like, I know. I mean, there are a lot of like female entrepreneurs now who are successful, but just in more like female oriented industries of like
Girl
Stitch
Boss
Fix
or
and like
whatever.
Spanx and stuff, you know, and they're not necessarily Valley Girls, but they're definitely like way more feminine and like don't care that they're, you know, girly girls. But yeah, I think it's like, I think for her. Oh, one thing that I was gonna say that was a little annoying was like all of the articles like called her a young woman. And like, yes, she was 19 when she started the company, but I don't think anyone called Zuck like a young man or something, you know, like they, like it was always just like an entrepreneur or like a, you know, Harvard graduate or whatever. And so like that, I think, you know, really harping on her age and like kind of like infantilizing her a little bit with that phrase was something that was annoying. But she actually kind of used, I mean, in the book they talked about like her trying to fight back on the Wall Street Journal story by saying it was a sexist. So like she kind of used that to her advantage.
Right. She kind of Jussie Smollett it a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
I get this tendency, this feeling that there's like the Silicon Valley CEO, you know, like almost like a doll or whatever. You can take a little bit from Steve Jobs, you can take a little bit from Gates, you can take a little bit from Zuckerberg, and then you can create this like superhero CEO type where this person has no idea what they're doing, but they know the language, they know what to wear, they know what to drive, they have all of that, you know? Like, I feel like people can get caught up in that a lot.
Yeah, I know. I think that's what she did,
I think that's what she did, too, yeah. I feel like she did her homework. I mean, Jobs was obviously her hero, and she named the invention the Edison, you know? And, like, she just
went to Stanford, just like they all did.
Went to Stanford and was a dropout, like you're supposed to be.
Yeah, like you're supposed to
She's probably like, I really want to stay.
She was probably, well, she went to Stanford so that she could drop out. And, you know, but yeah, like had no substance behind it, had no training.
Right. Which reminds me of like comedians. I mean, certain comedians that, you know, we all know the person that's like, wow, you're doing so well. And now I just went to see your set and holy shit, do you write jokes? Do you have any jokes? You know, do you have a punchline? And you know, those people, you're like, you look like a comedian, you sound like a comedian.
Yeah.
But man, do you write punchlines at all? Like, you know, like I always find like
you're doing all the right things.
You're doing all the right things and you know all the right people apparently, but like there's nothing really there, you know? And so a lot of times
like doing comedy for Henry Kissinger and then he's like, oh, this is very funny, very funny.
That was good.
She's
getting
a
better.
Pretty young woman.
Yeah, like yeah, I see what you're saying, but it's also the fact that all these people enabled her. Like if some grandiose 19-year-old, there was a a ton of grandiose 19-year-olds. Maybe they just want to be DJs or influencers, but she got like corporate backing. She can't, you know, I don't know how much of it, like, she just learned from these people or, like, yeah, I guess it was, like, she modeled herself after all of her heroes.
But
yeah.
I think she was, like, very calculating in that she got backing and, like, board advisories from, like, from no one who actually had knowledge about what she was working on. Like, no one who was a doctor, no one who had, like, healthcare experience. Like, all of the board members were just, like, politicians. Mm-hmm. And, like, all of her investors were just, like, you know, general tech money. Yeah. Like, it wasn't like she actually had anyone who knew what they were doing, like, giving her money.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, she definitely hired qualified people to work there, but like the people who she depended on to give money and publicity, not at all.
Yeah, I was actually thinking that there's one part of this documentary that I feel like is like an Adam Ruins Everything, which I didn't know, which is like there's only two companies that do blood work in America, right? Like LabCorp and Quest or something. Yeah. So it's like, it is like the same way there's like all the glasses we buy are from the same parent company and they're just like sub brands. Huh. So it's like there was something to be disrupted there, but she just didn't really have the goods to disrupt it, unfortunately. And it's just going to be like, maybe this would have worked in like 10 more years. It might work. And now no one's going to try because they're going to get laughed at.
Right.
Theranos was the Cosmo of its time.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, yeah, right. Yeah. Cosmo is like, I love talking about Cosmo. That's like, one of my documentaries I want to see made. The Cosmo. Do you know about this, Sarah?
No. What are you
talking
about?
It was like one of the first like delivery scooter services in the late 90s. And it was only in San Francisco and New York. And it was like VHS tapes and candy and like porn and like whatever.
It was 24/7. You could order whatever you wanted.
Not hot food. They wouldn't do hot food but they did ice cream.
But you could get
ice cream.
Yeah.
It was
some
like
CDRs.
A bodega on a
exactly. Mm-hmm. And it was like 20 minutes or less and they would come at like 3 a.m.
And they just had like a number you'd call?
It was a website.
Yeah.
Oh, in the 90s.
Yeah, so it was before apps. You just click. Yeah, but it was like basically 15 years too early. That's all it was.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Cosmo was awesome, but just a little too early, which she may have been maybe a little too early, or maybe like no matter where you stick her in the timeline of history, she's just going to con people out of their money, you know?
Well, if she had, it sounds like with all those engineers, it's like, I'm kind of like, if she had, I'm like just a very practical, grounded person. So I'm like, why didn't you just take baby steps? Like, why didn't you have like version 1.0 be like a huge, you know, like the first computers were the size of a room. Maybe the first like finger prick blood machines would have to be huge and not like immediately go to like the consumer size.
They were talking to an engineer in the documentary who was like, it's against the thermodynamic.
Yes. Yeah.
You can't do this in the tiny box that you want us to do it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so it sounds like she wasn't into that.
Like just not compromising.
Yeah. No.
Wanted to go like full on for the vision, not go like prototype.
Yeah. And what? So 2003, is that when she founded Theranos?
I think a little later.
Okay.
Yeah.
A little later. So it's like,
because it just imploded in like 20, well, let's see, it must have been like 2016.
Right.
Can I just say one of my favorite scenes, and I think this is intentional for Alex Gibney, is when she comes out dancing to MC Hammer, You Can't Touch This, which I think maybe was a reference to, he was like, he did live in Fremont, but if you know anything about MC Hammer, you know that he went bankrupt like with the giant mansion in Fremont that was just left empty for years. So like, that's like how he ends. That's the end credit music for the entire movie. It's MC Hammer. You can't touch this. I'm just like, I think that was a little shade that was thrown in for Stanley. Wow. Sorry. You know,
I think it works out perfectly because she played it at the employee meeting or that party. But I think that was for the FDA.
Yeah, that's right. It was.
And so I think for her, like
for
her
one
interpretation
test.
Was like, you can't touch.
Yeah.
Me. Theranos.
And it was only one test that got approved out of like the 200 theoretical
one, like, ones. Rare herpes test or something. Yeah.
And this is just like an episode of Silicon Valley, right? Like the one where they hire the pizza, they do the pizza app, and then they're just reboxing the pizzas from Pizza Hut and then redelivering them. Mm-hmm. It's essentially
the
same.
Yeah. Using someone else's technology.
Mike Judge is like called it, man. He called it this whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very true.
But that's what I mean. Like, that's why, like, this does happen at all tech companies. It's just she got caught because she chose to do a medical devices.
Dude, can I tell? I think I signed an NDA, but fuck it. Like, well, how much money are they going to try and get back from me? I worked for this app that was a wine identifier. I'm just not going to say the name of it, but just guess. Mm-hmm. And it was just a bunch of human beings looking at your shitty photo you took of your wine bottle and then just trying to like figure out what they're, I'm like, they thought, I think people thought it was an AI. I'm like, nope, it was just like good old George. He was like, you know, high school level French trying to figure out your stupid wine bottles. I don't even drink wine.
Oh my God.
It's fucking dumb. And I'm like mad about it still. I don't know.
And it's just manual labor behind the scenes.
Yeah, basically manual labor behind the scenes. Yeah.
What, couldn't they just use a UPC code or something? Like,
I mean, people were just doing like shitty Trader Joe's wines as well. It wasn't like, it was like basically Discogs for wine. That's all it was. Oh. Yeah. I don't know.
So if they had an old bottle, they wanted to know how much it was worth or something?
Yeah. Yeah. It was like like scanning. It was all manual work. Like, honestly, like so many things that people think your AI is just a bunch of cheap labor. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Like producing this podcast.
So, and then listening to the Dropout and reading a little bit more, this is like a weird anecdote, but she got a dog at one point. Did you hear about the dog?
No. I love this part.
Yeah. So she got a dog. So I guess one day she just was like, I can't make a meeting. I can't do what you guys need me to do. She got in a jet, flew to New York, got a dog, a husky. Flew back, named it Balto, B-A-L-T-O, because there's a story about this Alaskan husky that saved a bunch of people named Balto. Mm-hmm. And the dog went and got some medicine and got back to save people from getting like the measles in the 20s in Alaska or something and saved an entire community. So she named her dog Balto because like that's how she saw herself. Like she's saving humanity through medicine. However, she never potty trained the dog. But the dog had free reign of Theranos.
In the office?
Yeah, everywhere. In the labs.
Oh, gross.
And I guess some of the scientists were like, we can't have your dog shitting and peeing and getting dog hair in our blood sample.
In our laboratory?
Yeah, and she was just like,
you're a werewolf, it turns out. You're a werewolf.
My buzz. Yeah. Don't harsh my belt
like, oh,
buzz.
Do you hate dogs?
Yeah, exactly.
I was told this was a dog-friendly workplace. Yeah.
So I guess, too, she found out that huskies are like 2% wolf. And so when people would ask her, like, what's your dog? And she'd be like, it's a wolf.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. That's crazy that there's, like, more weird anecdotes that we didn't uncover.
So much weird
stuff.
Yeah,
I would imagine. And if you're listening to this podcast and you have an anecdote of working at Theranos or Elizabeth Holmes, contact us, Twitter, Instagram, email, at SupDocPodcast, because I would like to hear more, because I still, like, I just started learning about who this person is, so it's pretty fascinating to
Super
me.
Super fascinating.
And I love quixotic personality types, you know.
I feel like this is this might be a good time to bring up our games that we like to play.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Because there's a rumor that there is a film being made about this.
A biopic?
Of course there's going to be a film of the Theranos experience. And I've heard different names throughout there, but let's just do why don't we do Cast This Doc?
Gotta cast this doc. Gotta cast this doc.
All right, so let's play Cast This Doc. Let's start with our guest, Sarah. Who would you cast to play Elizabeth?
I would say, and I'm curious if you guys picked the same one, but I would cast Margot Robbie.
Oh.
She's got those big eyes, like the same frame and figure. Yeah. And she's really good at playing these like wacky, like she's like obviously very beautiful, but then is also good at being like weird and wacky too.
Oh yeah.
I feel like she would do well.
Did you
with
see
like the
Tanya
deep voice.
Hardy?
Yeah, I love that movie.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's perfect.
Did I win?
I think you won. I don't know.
Like the idea of Harley Quinn starting a tech company and getting venture capital. I also like that with her baseball bat.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, coming in with a steel beam, just like, give me $900 million. What about you, George?
I'm going to go a little more obscure. Former San Francisco comic Jane Harrison, for some reason, I thought would be, because she has a weird deep voice.
She does,
very blonde.
Which she talks about a lot.
Yeah, so it was just like, kind of like, oh, that would be kind of funny, turtleneck. Like, that, you know, maybe the comedy version of the Theranos story.
Right.
Also, maybe you're gonna totally disagree with me. Peter Sarsgaard for Schultz, the young Schultz.
Tyler.
Oh, Tyler Schultz. Schultz.
Yeah, like either Peter. Yeah, I think Peter Sarsgaard, like kind of Wormwood Peter Sarsgaard, you know, maybe slightly younger.
I feel like Tyler Schultz is so much more like happy-go-lucky.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sarsgaard.
I was thinking Mark Hamill, but then I kind of switched last minute to Peter Sarsgaard.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a little older. Yeah.
Sarsgaard's older.
Tyler's like 25.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I couldn't. Yeah, young Mark Hamill maybe is then the way I should have gone. Yeah. Paco, you got any castings?
Jennifer Lawrence for. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
For Elizabeth.
She's got a deep voice too.
Yeah, she's got a deep voice. I could see her playing kind of kooky.
Yep.
I also mentioned local comedian Julie Ash.
Oh, okay.
You did with Jane Harrison. Yeah. Julie's got a deep voice. Mm-hmm. I think she could pull that off. That'd be hilarious. And I had somebody for Tyler, but I can't remember his name. So I don't have.
Moving on.
I'm moving on. Yeah.
No one has Sonny, huh? No one came up with a Sonny. We didn't want to get racial.
Right. Sonny would be a tough one. Maybe Eric Griffin.
That's a very funny idea to have.
Eric Griffin. Funny because I hadn't heard of Eric Griffin until like 3 weeks ago, and that's the third time he's come up in my life.
Oh, wow. You're going to meet him.
Oh, great.
Or you're going to work with him, one of the two.
Yeah, someday.
Both. Can I also verify that Paco won the game? Because
I did.
There is a feature film
being
worked out, and the rumor is that Jennifer Lawrence will play Elizabeth.
Shut up. Wow.
So
yours is...
I think mine's better.
Yours is better.
Although, I don't know. J-Law's so good.
Yeah, I mean...
She's got that voice, too.
Right. Yeah. I mean, she's amazing.
She'll be
Paco
great.
Does
yeah.
casting all the time, so it kind of makes
I
sense.
I do it's actually true. Work in casting, so that's I have an eye for this kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know, the most famous blonde lady in the world. Let's put her in the movie.
Yeah, why not? Now let's do a pitch this doc. Let's play a little pitch this doc. George, what do you got?
I have pitched this before, if you've heard the show, and there was going to be two competing Jussie Smollett docs, and the story just got weirder.
Crazier.
Just turned again. Mm-hmm. So I had no idea now. I actually do need a documentary to understand what is going on with Jussie Smollett, because it seems like he
got off with no
jail time, just like his bail, maybe.
And his lawyers are still saying that he got attacked.
Yeah, and he's
and
still
the prosecutor today... The prosecutor who dropped the charges today said that he thinks he's guilty.
Oh,
what
God.
The? It's what?
It, nobody
like
seems
there's
to
something
understand.
Weird.
It's because the Chicago PD shouldn't have done that press, really. That's
right.
All. If they would have played it a little cooler, they could have just presented all that evidence like in a way where the public would have been just... I mean, the public already turned on him. And so now it's just like... I don't know, but I was like saying the whole time, I'm just like, whatever. It's just going to make people watch Empire. Whether they fire him or keep him... I'm going to watch. I'm going to see what happens. I want to see a guy either be crazy or just a psychopath, sociopath. So, that story is not going away. So it's just got a lot of twists and turns. It's going to come out for sure. So that's the one I'm pitching. I'm just like, who's going to get the inside scoop on it? I guess you got to interview like the brothers. You got to interview
the Chicago
PD. Mm-hmm.
What happened to the brothers?
Oh, the Nigerian brothers?
Yeah. What happened to those
guys?
Dude,
you got to watch the movie. I don't know who's going to do it. I mean, at this rate, the new Apple documentary wing is going to do it. Because Apple's now making original content. So, yeah.
Oh, of course they are. Mm-hmm. Who is going to play? Let's cast this doc with the Jussie Smollett biopic.
I did not
Who would you have play him?
I think who played... what was that like Rocky boxing movie?
Oh, Michael B. Jordan?
Right.
More recently. Huh?
Oh, you mean?
Michael B. Jordan. Yeah. Yes. I think he likes a lot like.
You're good at this. Hmm. That's a good one.
Thanks.
Because John Legend would be my.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he will play himself in the biopic of himself.
That's
it. Even if
he's
like, even if it turns out being not a good version of him, he's going to just do it because like
John
what
Legend
shame does he
has himself.
Yeah. Oh man, I am John Legend. Different movie, yeah.
Right, that's pretty good. Do you have one, George?
Oh, that was my. Oh, a casting?
No,
no
cast.
Yeah, I don't. Just Jussie Smollett as himself. That's all I got.
Okay.
Yeah.
For Pitch This Doc, I have Emperor Norton.
Oh.
I still can't believe there's never been a documentary about Emperor Norton.
You don't know that one, Sarah?
Emperor Norton.
No.
He's a famous iconoclastic San Francisco personality.
Yeah.
In the like mid to late 1800s, this crazy dude was just like, I'm Emperor of San Francisco.
The fucking first burner. And he's the first burner, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. He was just this crazy dude that was like, I'm the Emperor of San Francisco. And he would walk around with like in military gear and a sword, and people just pretend they were like, yeah, you're the Emperor of San Francisco. People would give him food and like
When was this?
Mid to late 1800s.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a statue of him in San Francisco. Oh my God. Like he had like carte blanche of people just treated him like a king wherever he went because they're like, there's the crazy guy, mm-hmm. Emperor Norton, and people were into it, and he was into it, and apparently he had a pack of dogs that would follow him. That he had this like pack of dogs that would walk around with him, and all kinds of crazy shit. Like he was like the only recognized monarch in American history. Oh my
God. Did he make his own money too? I forgot. He might have. Yeah, he made his own money.
Like his own currency.
He had his own currency. Mm-hmm. And people would take. I mean, they were like when he was around, they were like, we believe that we're going to just play along with you.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that's one of the things I love about this town is like the crazy history.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, Emperor Norton's a famous character of San Francisco history, and there's never been. I keep looking, and no one's ever made a doc.
There is like there's a show that I think is on Hulu that's like. Timothy Speed Levitch, the guy who was in that documentary. So he just has kind of like goes and checks out a city. So he talks about Emperor Norton in his San Francisco episode, but it's just like, you know, like a 3-minute segment or something. Also, there was like a snack. There was like a sourdough bread snack called Emperor Emperor Snortons? Emperor Norton's. Cool. And and also like I think the other person who's I would tag on is like the equivalent is that guy Frank Chu, the 12 Galaxies sign guy, still around? You'll see him on Market Street with his sign. He's kind of like the only other equivalent of Emperor Norton. Also, the only Halloween costume that I wanted to do that I didn't do, I thought it would have been good, and
in San Francisco.
No one will get it down here. So
no. Do you have a doc you'd like to pitch?
I was thinking. I mean. Has there ever been a documentary about a reality show like a Bachelor or like a Naked and Afraid type thing? Because like I would be curious. I just think it would be really interesting to hear from these people in a not like overly produced, like being told what to do and like trying to do things for a certain motivation.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Like behind
the scenes stories, anecdotes.
Or maybe like after the fact of like, and then the producers told me to take my shirt off. So I did, or like, you know, I don't know, just like whatever those, I just feel like, I mean, it's kind of weird because reality shows are supposed to be real, but obviously they're not.
Right. Yeah.
But I just think it would be interesting to hear.
Did you watch Unreal at all? Did you watch that show?
Yeah. So that's what sparked my thought of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I didn't watch the show, but I saw the creator.
Oh, Sarah Shapiro.
South by Southwest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I knew really her cool. back in the day, and yeah, like she really worked for I think The Bachelor, and it was like very traumatizing. So she created a whole thing about it. Yeah. So that's the best, I guess, fictionalized but based in real stuff story of that. But yeah, I don't. And there must
be cool to have like a talking head, like hearing directly from these people.
I met a dude who does like editing for those like kind of Big Brother shows, and it's just like there's so much cutting room floor.
Yeah, I bet.
Stuff that you can
of just like boring like. Them hanging out.
Totally. You can make something with
their clothes on.
Like just making small talk because they have hours to fill.
Yeah. Well, they're just at craft services table, just like hanging out and doing stuff. Okay. Well, Sarah, let me ask you a couple questions because we're going to close up now. So here's a little questionnaire I've been doing. What's your name? Full name, Sarah DeForest, right?
Yep.
Awesome. What's your hometown?
Saratoga Springs, New York.
Oh, nice. Person you are most mistaken for?
Just any redhead.
Kimmy Schmidt.
Any regular redhead.
No. Yeah, yeah. Kimmy, like any, like
Kelly Kemper.
Like a lot of times I get the, you know, people tell me like, I saw your doppelganger today. And I'm like, they just also had red hair. Right, yeah. Right,
exactly. What is your dark secret?
Oh boy.
Work for Theranos.
I can't think of one. Yeah. Elizabeth Holmes is my sister.
Oh, shit. Maybe if you think of it, we'll come back to it. But if not, that's fine. Pet peeve.
You know, anything mouth related, chewing. I like even on microphones, like
what
the.
Do you mean?
Like when you don't drink enough water.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, no, I completely understand. I had a roommate that could not hear other people chew.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you were eating, he'd have to leave the room.
Yeah, yeah,
like that,
yeah.
Do you have it like...
It's not quite that bad, but I like when people eat apples really disgustingly or messily, like, and it's just like...
Right.
I hate that.
What do you never travel without?
I always bring... gum.
Contradicts awesome. Your last that's one. Awesome. Kind of a hypocritical move with what you last said.
With the mouth, I know. That's
oh,
true.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's fine for you.
Maybe I just have a mouth fixation. Yeah.
It's one of these. That's one of my favorite questions because, like, traveling is very personal, and we all have that one.
Right. Like, thing. Make sure. Well, I always do. Like, you know, like traveling. Anytime I like leave my house, like just to you know go wherever. I'm just like I have the mantra of like the keys, phone, wallet. And then I add chapstick, hair tie, gum.
Got it. Mine's peanut M&M.
Never travel, like never leave your house without it?
Well,
or just when you go on trips?
Just when I fly. I like to have some
to treat yourself.
Yeah, I like
to. Do you get a little plane anxiety?
Just a little.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Who is your celebrity crush?
Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, yeah.
So he like... And I'm not really, I'm not actually into that type of guy as like someone I'd like to date. Like I, you know, I, but he's just such a like Greek god, like perfect, like classically beautiful, like bone structure, jaw. Yeah.
Which one's Liam and which one's Chris? Thor is.
Chris is the hot one. No,
Chris
they're both hot.
Thor.
Chris is the blonde
he's
one.
Thor.
Yeah,
okay,
Thor.
Yeah. Who's Liam? What the fuck is he in?
Hunger Games.
Oh, okay.
That's it. Yeah.
That's it. And where do you see yourself in 5 years?
I don't know, Paco. I wish I knew. I literally could be anywhere. Because I'm like, I've been in San Francisco for 5 years, but I'm kind of getting that itch to move somewhere. And I'm from the East Coast, but I like it out here. I am currently freelancing, so I don't know how long that's gonna last. Like I just don't know.
A lot of question marks.
Yeah.
Tell us what do you got coming up next? Where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Sarah DeForest, on Instagram at DeFunkyFo, which is a dumb college nickname that I
that was your college nickname? Funky
that was
Fo?
Like DeFunkyFo. Yeah, DeForest, DeFunkyFo.
Oh, DeFunkyFo. Yeah. Nice.
And then, well, it was like Defoe, and then, you know, it
funky
got
it.
Yeah,
got it
funky, funky got in got there it. Based on my very funky personality.
You seem funky.
Yeah, I do stand up around San Francisco, around the Bay Area. I'll be at the Inner Fog Wine Bar show on April 13th, I think it is. Mm. And then I co-host a monthly show at Piano Fight. That's a comedy game show called Baby Sheriffs. It's very silly. And it's a lot of fun, and people should come out for it.
That is awesome. Thank you, Sarah, so much.
Thank you, guys.
Sarah knows.
Oh, look at what
my
you
favorite
did.
Pizza
this was place. Awesome. Thank All you. Right. And you definitely check out Sarah. She's very funny. And thank everyone for listening. This has been SupDoc. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about SupDoc at supdocpodcast.com. And follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
And please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes.
Our theme song was written by David Siegel, and our show was engineered by Will Scoville.
If you want us to cover a doc, have suggestions for guests, or you just want to reach out, please email us at supdocpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.